Hello and welcome to Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. My name is Victor Sosa, joined as always by the legend Les Thatcher. A lot to talk about in the world of pro wrestling this week, including a new article about Vince McMahon, according to the Wall Street Journal. There is more money going out. I suppose we'll have to find out where exactly that money is coming from, but that's a discussion a few minutes down the line, as well as a conversation Nick Khan had in a podcast recently. But obviously, Les, we have to start with what is unquestionably the biggest news of the week and maybe the biggest news of the year in wrestling as far as in-ring stuff is concerned, because unfortunately, from a wrestling perspective, we have been robbed of the opportunity to see more matches with Jay Briscoe. And on a much more important note, a family is missing their husband and their father after this tragic accident earlier this week.
Yeah, that's you know, I've had a chance to watch them since they were their mother had to travel with them when they first started with Ring of Honor, because they were like 15, 16 years old. And that's the first time I ever saw them clean shaven, you know, just two young boys. And Jay always has brought his passion and love for the business. I mean, you can see it. And I think the two matches that they've had with FDR are in the last year, man, if that doesn't seal a legacy for both teams, I don't know what the hell would. But yeah, it was so tragic. And you know, here's the worst thing too. And we were talking before we started recording, the two daughters. My God, the one is wasn't feeling anything in terms of you know, in her legs from the waist down, and now I guess they have where she can feel in their thighs, but yet she can't walk, and back problems, several vertebrae. The sister cracked rib, broken leg, I believe, and have some back problems as well. So, you know, and I know there is a site set up to help, you know, with the financial expense. And if you can afford a couple bucks, my God, you know, these kids. And the awful thing is these kids are laying there suffering and realizing their father is gone. That is so, so sad. And like, yeah, wrestling has taken the hell of a hit. I know we want to see, I didn't know those guys, you know, I met them. I was thinking the other day, Jay and I had a exchange just in a hallway in Baltimore a number of years ago. I was up there with, CZW doing a deal in Philly and a weekend, and had gone with, down to the Baltimore show with my, with the guys I'm working for. And he said, I see you every place. And I said, I'm just a camp follower of the Briscoe brothers. He laughed. But, you know, I never really spent a lot of time around, but everybody, they were really good guys. And apparently he was a hell of a father as well. So, yeah, you know, our sympathies and prayers go out to the family. And, you know, like I say, if you could help with a couple bucks, please do. And, you know, just hope everything ends up as good as it can coming out of this horrible tragedy.
Well, let me give that website out here. It's givesendgo.com/pughlove, P-U-G-H-L-O-V-E. Pugh, of course, being Jay's real last name. The campaign's goal is $200,000. And as we record this, Les, they are currently just under $195,000. So it looks like the goal can be hit this weekend.
Wow. That's great. That is amazing. Yeah, that's super. Yeah, that's, but yes. And you know, on a little brighter note, I had a hell of a time. I spent 2 hours last night with Briscoe and JBL
and live to tell the tale.
And live to tell the tale. But yeah, so, and that podcast drops next Thursday, the 26th. And if you get a chance to check it out, we had a good time. You know, Briscoe and I go back to 1971. And so, you know, we talked a lot about the history and, you know, just a lot of things. And so it was a lot of fun. Just wanted to throw that out there. And again, my friend Vincent Kay is big feature in the wrestling world this week, right?
Well, apparently so. Wall Street Journal, which has gotten all the scoops on all things Vince and WWE and the happenings with the board and such, reported just in the last couple of days that he and former referee Rhea Chatterton, known professionally in WWF at the time as Rita Marie, agreed to a multi-million dollar legal settlement, back in December. All that's known about the actual dollar amount is that it is not the $11.75 million damage she was initially looking for. I would imagine there's some sort of non-disclosure agreement about that. So if the number actually gets out, you can bet your bottom dollar that it won't be from Ms. Chatterton. And, you know, the story has made the rounds since all these allegations and proof of payouts from Vince in the last couple of months have been made. She was the first female referee in history, and she has claimed that he raped her back in 1986. And basically, really, if you're wondering why so long ago and we're getting a settlement today, there's actually a law now in New York, and I believe this law also exists in California. There is a one-year window in the statute of limitations that allows victims of sex crimes to file lawsuits over the course of this year that would otherwise be barred by the statute of limitations, hence the threat of the lawsuit in which led to this settlement.
Oh, and I don't see on the surface any changes that seem to have Vince's fingerprints. That doesn't mean there's not, but and this Nick Khan interview he did.
Well, I was troubled by that conversation, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, we said it from the moment Vince left the building. How long can he really be gone? At some point, he's going to be back. And Nick Khan basically talked about that. And I think that's something most of us understood. But, it just came across too much like, oh, these scandals and all this money, not that serious. He just sort of treated it like business as usual. And that rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And it was an everyday happening, right? Stephanie, oh, she may be back too. I agree. You know, we said, can Vince stay away? And obviously he can't or didn't.
No.
Of course, I guess Khan's got to look too over his shoulder and think, as my head get the chopping block, is it next? So maybe the company line is the only line for a guy making that kind of money at this point. I don't know. But, it was too casual. Yeah, you know, people get raped all the time. And he didn't say that.
No.
But that's what you're saying. It felt that way, right?
It was like, you know, these things happen all the time. CEOs make these payouts all the time. Nobody goes away. I mean, he didn't use the phrase cancel culture either, but it really sounded that way. I mean, you know, he says, where's the quote? This isn't it, but while I'm looking for it, you know, when he stepped down, anyone who believed that was permanent didn't know him, which was what we talked about. But he said, I'm appreciative of the fact that he gave it 5 or 6 months, let the dust settle a little bit, and then came back in the way he came back. You mean by running people off the board and planting his two own people there who were going to yes him? That's the best way to return, huh? Okay. I'm going to find this thing here, but he was talking about other CEOs and the way it happens in business, as if like, hey, man, just, you know, this is part of what happens in business these days. Well, maybe that shouldn't be happening in business. Can we just be honest about that? I mean, for you to treat it as not that big a deal is a real issue for me. Oh, my goodness. I'm scrolling through this thing and looking too fast here.
Well, you know, one thing I noticed, he said, was Simmons had brought up the Rita and possible suitors. We'll wait and see how that and other possible situations play out.
Mm-hmm.
And Khan saying, I think everyone just plowing ahead because it's all these businesses. There's never a clean, clear path.
Well,
there's always some encumbrance. Something in the way, some hurdle. But usually they're not always sexual, are they?
Yeah, really. Okay, here's what he said. No advertiser has fled. Ratings aren't down. The product continues to build. Why would he resign? Why would he do that? I think it's just, and that's a reference to Ray Rice and Roger Goodell from a few years ago. He said, hey, step down. You know, you sort of have to be punished for it. It didn't used to be that way. Like, he's lamenting days gone by when people didn't get punished for doing wrong. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but you know, I don't know how much Nick Kahn actually knows about the history of our business, but I think I've said in so many words that this same situation 40, 50 years ago probably wouldn't have made it publicly.
That's true.
You know, because there were no wrestling companies that were sold to public stock, for one thing. And the business was more much more a niche situation, too, back then. So, yeah. Yeah, in that respect, I could disagree, but I won't. It might have slipped under the radar. But no, in this current day and time, it's obviously not going to, nor should it. He also compared to something like what with Ray Rice situation where
they caught
him on film.
Exactly. That's what he was talking about when I mentioned the fact that advertisers hadn't fled, ratings aren't down. That quote was in reference to the situation with Ray Rice years ago, where there were some people who felt, I'd be one of them, to be honest with you, that the punishment didn't necessarily fit the crime, but folks thought that Goodell was so soft on him that he should have resigned. And Nick Kahn talked about the advertisers and the ratings in reference to Goodell and comparing that, I think, on some level to Vince. You know, there was no reason for Goodell to leave because everything about the business was going fine. And it seems like he's intimating here there was really no reason for Vince to disappear. Although I'm glad he did because he gave this a chance to blow over. I'm not sure how that works when he just settled another suit. But
I don't either.
He seems to be making the comparison that, you know, there's no reason for the guy to leave because business is doing well. Well, I can think of plenty of reasons for him to leave that have nothing to do with business.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, in the Ray Rice thing, what he didn't mention either is whether the punishment fit the crime or not. Ray Rice disappeared from the football scene, did
that's
he not?
That's true. We have never seen him since. No, nowhere near the NFL, anyway.
No, no, that's for sure. So I don't know if that punishment fits a crime, but I'm sure a man who loved football as much as he did, it sure was quite a punishment personally for him.
Yeah, I imagine it was.
So I guess we can leave Nick Kahn, and we'll have more on that next week, and I don't know that for sure, but it's a good chance, right?
The way things are going, I mean, you know, who knows how many lawsuits Vince settled between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah, you know, we were talking a little bit before we started recording, too. Sami Zayn said winning the WWE Championship would be awesome, but it doesn't. But if it doesn't happen, he'd still be happy with what he's accomplished, and he should be. And I don't know. I don't see them putting that belt on him I don't see it in the cards, basically. But he should be happy with everything that he's accomplished. And like I said to you earlier, the people behind the scenes who are writing this, I mean, let's face it, Sammy, regardless of whether he's a comedic figure or whatever, is right now, when you talk about Roman Reigns, you talk about Sami Zayn, right? I mean,
you have to.
One is linked to the other.
Yes.
So, yeah, well, and I agree. Whatever happens, if he never gets the title, he certainly has earned his pay in spades because, you know, he's done a terrific job at what he's been asked to do.
Well, let me ask if you see a way to fantasy book this out. I'm not necessarily looking for a situation, but leaning on all the years of experience you've had and working with the bookers that you've had, in looking at the way this situation is currently shaking out and thinking, at least the way it's looked the last couple of weeks, there may be an impending split here on some level, and maybe Sami Zayn will find himself across the ring from Roman Reigns in the next, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks or so. I know they're not, I shouldn't say I know, you never know. I don't believe they would do it. I know you don't believe they would do it either. But could you see a scenario, and I don't mean like, will they do it? I mean, could you, do you think you can book one where he wins the title, even if it's for, you know, you win it on the premium live event or whatever they call them now on a Saturday, and it's back in Roman's hands by the week after? Is there some kind of window where you could see trying to make that happen? Would that be viable?
Yeah, if some other things were changed, and if the fact that there weren't every guy that comes to the ring with a match brings an entourage, and we know the entourages or the single person, whoever's down there, there's going to be outside interference. It's almost like, hey, why don't we have outside interference? What we do in every match. If it weren't for that, the simplicity would be that someone, say Roman and Sami are having a title match, and it looks like Roman is just prepared to put Sammy's ass away. Let's say, I'm just grabbing something off the top of my head here. And Roman goes to the top to give him a big knee drop or a big elbow off the top. And who? Could be Seth. It could be KO. It could be somebody comes from you know, out of nowhere, gives Roman a shove. He takes a bad bump. Sami hooks a leg, and we take it home. And everybody's going to be in the right place. It has got the timing has got to be perfect to do something like that. Although I think Sami and Roman pull it off, you know, and then in a rematch, you know, then Roman obviously gets his title back. But for that short period of time, you know, Sami is the champion, and but everyone knows that it just, but it fits his character, who is all this time thinking I'm one of the family, right?
Right.
So it would fit anyway. Now I'm the world champion, and for, you know, he could go on, and for a week he could, you know, go on the other shows and flash the belt, you know, and be cocky and all that. And then Roman ends up, you know, beating him clean, coming back. But if you stop and think, the run Sami has had as being a comedic figure in this whole serious scenario, I keep saying this, but he's done a hell of a job, and it's all fit in just perfectly. And you know, I'll miss it. I know at some point it's going to come to an end, but it's been so well done, and it's, the story has built so well. I hate to see it come to an end.
You know, the truth of the matter is, as good as all of them have been, and they've all been excellent and all important to making this work the way it has, if Zane's not an A+, it doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Very much so. You know, while we're on that too, and we were talking before we started recording, my friend Jim, that I mentioned on the show quite frequently, is a big wrestling fan. He's in his 50s. And he grew up in Memphis, so he grew up with that style of wrestling. But I said to JBL and Jerry last night, I said, I learn a lot from watching wrestling with fans. And as much as he sees this, you know, and he and I have discussed this, as much as we see how well the Bloodline story is built, Sami's involvement, and, you know, and how everybody has stepped up, as we've said repeatedly over and over, is what blows him away and drives him nuts. And I'm going home. He gets tired of seeing the Usos beat the same team over and over, or less. And I'm just grabbing names here, like the Vikings against New Day. How many? 4 times in 4 weeks or something like that. And I can't disagree with that, you know, because they're not really, it's not really a strong story like we're talking about with the Bloodline. It's just, okay, giving them another match. Why? And there comes the problem, I think. There isn't a why, pretty much. It's just we're filling this spot. And so, yeah, you know, I think that may, overall, with like SmackDown, which is basically the feature spot for Roman, that may, you know, hurt things there a little bit. But overall, I think that storyline is pretty much carrying SmackDown week after week. And I'm anxious to see when Cody comes back on Raw, you know, how well it's going to do. And I think if they do this right, with him being off all this time and coming back strong, they should pop some ratings really good there, don't you?
I sincerely hope so. I like that they've invested in these video packages over the last several weeks, building up to Cody declaring for the Rumble in the most recent one this past Monday night. To be honest with you, I don't care if everybody sees it coming. If it's me, he wins the Rumble and the title at WrestleMania.
Well, there's that. You know what? That would be talk about a feel good moment, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fact. It would be good. And I, you know, and I think Cody will be over well enough with the fans that they could buy that. But then again, here's the thing too. If that's the case, if he wins the title, Roman's going to get a return.
Yeah.
but it doesn't have to be the next day, which is a situation which they do a lot, and I don't like it because, again, you know, you part of drawing in the wrestling business for years is making people anticipate something before you give it to them, make them want it and anticipate it, and that's one of the reasons that the Bloodline thing has been so successful, because they tease something and it doesn't happen, and they give you a little more, and they make you coming back because it got you wanting more. So that's it can be done. It could be done. But yeah, I think Cody coming back is going to help everything there. But I don't know. But I mentioned Jim's thought about these guys wrestling the same people over and over. I see storylines that go well, but they're doing it just, and the storylines aren't strong. It's just, okay, Vic beat Les. Les wants another match, so we'll give it to him. Why? Because he wants it. You know, and that's obviously not a strong thing to draw people to buy tickets or pay-per-views or, you know, just to tune into the regular weekly TV. Yeah, there's holes in everything, and it's just I think the best thing is the whole Bloodline thing over the last 2 years has built in virtually the perfect storm, if you want to call it that. And it's a great teaching tool if you want to sit down and bookers and writers and stuff, you would learn how to build something strong and take and make it last. Here's your yardstick. I think would that be, you be in agreement with that?
I would be in agreement with that. Yeah, definitely.
And I think WWE needs to take a look at that and think we need to be doing that in NXT. We do doing it in Raw, you know, and with other wrestlers. And if you had two good storylines like that going on all your programs, I'd say you're pretty much set for success as long as you can keep the fire is burning.
Well, the best storylines, as we have noted time and again over the last couple of years, taking place off of television. I'm just randomly scrolling here through The Observer, which is on the front page at F4WOnline.com. So I'm going to ask you, Les, quickly, just to circle back to the Vince McMahon story that we started here. And there's nothing new necessarily, but I just got a kick out of it, since basically what we were talking about is whether or not Vince could stay away, and obviously what he's done in the last few weeks have proven that he could not. But Dave notes in The Observer this week, in talking about Vince's return, that the SEC filings said Vince was there to negotiate a sale and TV rights, but the management team would remain in place. Obviously, Stephanie left almost immediately. Dave says he was told that McMahon was not going to be in the office or come to television, which he then says in the two sentences later, in fact, McMahon was back in the office almost immediately. And as soon as he was back in the office, he sent notes to several departments to suggest changes.
But he's not coming back.
No, wait, it gets even
only
better.
Only to facilitate the sale.
It's even better. Apparently, Kevin Dunn talked to some talent and said he's been with the company for 40 years, and he's talked to Vince since Vince has made his return. He said Vince told him there'll be no changes as far as who's running the talent side, but he also said that's the case until Vince decides he wants to make changes, which is also accurate.
Yeah. You got 80% of the stock. You pretty much do what the hell you want to do.
Yeah, that and a whole lot more in the article Dave has put together that's in The Observer about Vince and his return and other lawsuits from companies that have WWE stock as part of their pension plan, including the City of Detroit Police and Fire Department filed a new lawsuit this week. Yeah,
they were apparently bought stock for their retirement fund, right?
Yes, yeah. And they're unhappy with the way Vince has maneuvered his way back onto the board. So we'll see what happens with that.
So we got two lawsuits that we know about from internally from stockholders.
Yes. Yeah. The first one in Delaware from the week before or something like that. And then this one here in Detroit. So,
and the plot thickens.
It does. Well, I mean,
just another day at the office, though, right?
I'm hoping that they'll include all of this in that Netflix movie that they're supposedly making about Vince that is allegedly still moving forward.
Yeah, you got to wonder how accurate that'll be, too, right?
Well, they might need to turn it into a miniseries.
They might. Well, as long as he's been around the business,
you could
probably get admitted. Yeah. You sure could. Yeah. Yeah. And if you go back to where he first started with his dad and doing, you know, he was doing the play-by-play on the TV and that sort of thing. And then he, you know, ran New England for a while and, you know, then finally the takeover. Hell yeah, you could make a miniseries out of that. Oh, why not? Why not?
Hold on. There's just one more thing here. In this. Dave has a little more color on the Nick Khan podcast with Bill Simmons. Asked about Tony Khan and AEW, obviously. And apparently Nick took personally the shot Tony took a while back, saying he was the only real Khan that matters in wrestling or something like that. Of course, he starts it by saying he's not threatened by anybody. But he says, I've never met the kid. By the way, Nick Khan's 6 years older than Tony. Tony Khan seems like a nice kid to me. I don't know him. I've met his dad, who I randomly sat next to at some sports business luncheon that Stephanie and I went to a year and a half or so ago. And then he puts over Tony's dad while saying nothing else about Tony. I love it. I'm so here for the petty party. I have to be honest with you. When there's a little sniping like this, I'm so entertained.
We're getting back to the root of old school wrestling promotional wars, aren't we?
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. This could get, I don't know how many people listen to us and remember or around for the Monday Night Wars, but, you know, Eric Bischoff calling Vince out, you know, wants to wrestle Vince, and then Hunter and crew, and they're going to raid the WCW show, and my God, it got real testy there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's getting warmed up. Well, and then they all say I don't pay attention to this guy, right?
But they're all paying attention. I mean, Vince legitimately doesn't watch anything else, but everybody else is paying attention and telling him what to pay attention to.
They certainly are. They certainly are. And Devon Dudley left his coaching role.
Yeah, the timing is interesting. Simply because, yeah, with NXT, he'd been an agent at the main roster since 2016, but last June went to Orlando to work at the Performance Center. But the timing's interesting, Les, because just last month he was pulled from an independent booking that was supposed to be an ECW tribute, and apparently WWE had sent that other promotion a legal letter, which led to Devon not being able to make the show, and it's reported that Devon himself reached out to Triple H and spoke on it directly and asked to be able to be allowed to attend the event and was unsuccessful in convincing Triple H that it was okay. And here we are now on the 20th. I guess he tweeted this yesterday. So as of the 19th of January, barely a month later, he's left the building.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I sure Hunter knows exactly what I'm about to say. He's been around. He was around during that period. You know, the Dudleys were a huge part of the foundation of ECW. So, yeah, I would have thought, yes, you let him go, right? I mean, it's not like he was going to wrestle. He might throw a punch at somebody or something. But, well, you know, over the years, though, I haven't tried to book anyone for anything out of WWE, you know, in a long time. They haven't had need to. But if you stop and look back, you know, there was a period of time when I could get, well, did with us at HWA before we had an affiliation with either WCW or WWE, I mean, a contractual affiliation. I've booked Road Dogg and Edge and Foley and Chains, guys, WWE guys. You know, on my independent shows. And then, of course, you know, the Pillman shows, which all three of the big companies loaned us talent. to use. But then during the Mark Curtis, Brian Hildebrand, you know, they've tried to put a memorial show together for him in Johnson City. And at the time, of course, Malenko, Jericho, Guerrero, Benoit, all those guys were, you know, close to Mark. And his wife just wanted them to come and sign autographs and pose for pictures. It wasn't like she even wanted him to wrestle. And the company would not allow that to happen.
Terrible.
So they've tightened up on a lot of things, but I think in some situations you got to let that barrier down. And I think this thing with the ECW tribute show would have been one of those things. You know, I mean, let's face it. There, you know, Devon probably, you know, had a, well, you know, it was in his blood. He was part of ECW. That would we have ever heard of Devon Dudley if it had not been for ECW? So, and he's got to feel, you know, that sort of, you know, kinship as well. So, yeah, I think that's part of the reason he left. I can't say it's all or any, but, yeah, I would think so. And I would think that they made the wrong decision by not allowing him to attend that.
Also, quick update on Dwayne Johnson's status for this upcoming WrestleMania, because obviously they would love to cast any plans they may have had for anybody else aside to make The Rock versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. But Dave is reporting this week that unless Dwayne changes his mind in the next few days, he's already indicated to those in charge he will not have enough time to get in the kind of shape he wants to be in for a main event match against Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 39. Now, obviously, the appearances he's made over the years, he's been considerably bigger than he was in his prime wrestling days. But what I assume he's meaning, because you well know this, Les, is that being in shape is very different from being in wrestling shape.
Yes, it's a lot. Yeah, wrestling shape is a whole another ball game. You get in that in a ring, really. I mean, the only way I've ever seen guys, you know, is if you sprint till you're winded and then power walk and sprint again and power walk. I mean, because your in-ring work is that, you know, up and down, up and down. And it's just hard to duplicate that on a treadmill or a stationary bike or anything. It's, you learn, you get your ring win in the ring. So I see his point. Yeah, that would. And I think, you know, he obviously, especially as high profile as he is in the world now, he doesn't want to go in there and lay an egg. And I can't blame him. You know,
no,
he's going to want to go in there and be able to go. And especially with that particular match, because it's cousin versus cousin sort of thing, right? And the whole family, the bloodline situation. So, yeah, I can see his point. If he doesn't feel he could be in shape in time, then, you know, maybe put it off. But I think that would be, talk about being the match that everybody wants to see. I would swear that would be it, wouldn't you?
I would too, but if I were him and it's something I really want to do, I wouldn't rush it this year, because if you're not in wrestling shape, you're not in wrestling shape, and only he knows how much time he would need to do that. But it has been a number of years since his last match, and as great as he looks, he knows, and he doesn't want to be out there, I would think, coming across as significantly less than himself. So, you know, the clock is ticking here on making this match happen. It needs to happen probably in the next couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's you don't want to wait too long, as usually the clock is ticking. And before we move on to other federations, we both got a charge out of Dax talking about Vince comparing he and Cash to Tully and Arn, only saying, it's just it. You are Tully and Arn.
As if it were a problem. Dax was discussing this on his podcast this past week. He relayed a story about winning the tag team titles on TV against the New Day and how it wasn't necessarily the greatest match they'd ever had. It didn't reinvent tag team wrestling, but he was really proud of it, not just because they won the titles, but because he was particularly proud of the story specifically they told in the match, even more so than the actual work. And, you know, they come out of the ring on a high, feeling great. They've got the titles. They did their job. They feel like they did it well. The New Day comes to the back. Vince thanks them and congratulates them and sends them on their way. And he walks over to Dax and Cash and says, quote, Everyone tells me that you guys are the next great tag team. Everyone tells me you're the next Arn and Tully. Well, that's your problem. You are the next Arn and Tully. You're just great wrestlers. That's all. And he walks off, you know, just totally raining on the parade of the guys he just made tag team champions of planet Earth. Only Vince McMahon.
Yes, yes. Well, you know what? I said this to you, and I don't know it to be a fact, but I can see if his mind's working in this direction, I need to neutralize these guys because they are so good, they're going to ask for a big raise. So I want to take the wind out of their sails before they get there. Well, but Dax said, it was a compliment, right? You're just Tully and Arn. What the hell? Why wouldn't you like that? Take it as an insult. Oh, yeah. But yeah. And you know what? They are the yardstick. I've said it before, and I know there are people that, especially on this website, will disagree the hell out of me. But I don't care. They are the yardstick, and they are a combination of current and old school professional wrestling tag team. And there is not another one quite like them. And you know what? And listen to them talk. You know, they're taking the time off. They're thinking about school. We talked about this. But these guys got their heads screwed on straight. They're proud of what they've done. And this past year, they've done more than anybody probably in tag team history since I've been around it anyway. But the point is they're not, okay, you know, if it's done, it's done. And they don't want to go on until they look bad or until they can't go or until they end up, you know, killing themselves. So I'm high on these guys. I like these guys. And, to me, if I were, whoever the hell's running WWE at this moment, if I had a chance to get these guys back, I sure as hell would do it.
Well, now you may have to pay that money he didn't want to pay a few years ago. As Dax went on to say in the podcast, the fact that Vince is back in the biggest chair at WWE says, after relaying that story we just shared, he said, that's one of the things I can't ever forget. And when we talk about what I'm going to do in the future, now that I think about that again, and with him back at the helm, it makes things a little questionable for me, end quote. So, you know, I don't know that, it's something we discussed last week or the week before with Vince back in the saddle, whether or not this sabbatical would just end up in them returning to AEW or going into those outside businesses they discussed, yeah. Simply because with Vince there, I don't know that they feel they're going to be used to their fullest potential. And if that's the case, then maybe I can just train somebody who can send them someone who will be used to their fullest potential and make some money in the process.
Yeah. There you go. I think their stance is good common sense and a good business decision on their part. They're not showing their hand necessarily, but they will listen and make their decision. I've never met either Cash or Dax. Dax and I have done messaging back and forth on Twitter. I'm high on these guys and like them so much and hope whatever they do, it ends up being really, really well for them because they've earned it, I think.
Well, at this point, if I'm them and I do have the permission from Tony Khan to sit home until the contract ends in April, if I so desire, I wait this sale out and find out whether or not Vince can actually move this thing to someone who will leave him in charge. If he can't, then I'm open to fielding all offers. If he ends up finding someone who lets him stay on, then either I'm going back to Tony or I'm opening my businesses or I'm doing both.
Yeah, these guys have got options and they've had a good run. Well, they made decent money in WWE and probably making much more than decent money in AEW. Plus, their bookings with New Japan and Mexico and so forth and so on. So, yeah, I think they're probably stable enough that they can sit back and review their choices and make the one that's right for them and their family. And if they can, I'm tickled to death for them, man, because that's something we all should aspire to. And in this particular wrestling business, that's not always an option.
I'm sure being the wrestling fans and historians that both Dax and Cash are, had they been wrestling in a different place and time, they would have been thrilled to have been a part of those Brian Pillman shows you put together, Les. And there are a lot of folks who didn't get the chance to experience it who can now view it on video, in addition to quite a few other things that I think at this point are not just vintage but classic because of so many stars that you had coming through HWA at one time that made it to the main roster.
Yeah, and you're right. Yeah, that's Wrestling for the Heartland is about the main roster guys that have come through HWA. And right now you can get the Lost Developmental Tapes Volumes 1 and 2, over 6 hours of content. Each, both are two DVD sets, and with matches and interviews and extras. Joe Dombrowski and I do the voiceover. I do more of the background stories, human interest stuff. And Joe does more of the play-by-play. You can get those at joe-dombrowski.com or prowrestlinglibrary.com. And also, just talking to Joe earlier this week, he's going to have Wrestling from the Heartland Volume 3 ready to go. I didn't realize we had done enough voiceover to do number 2 and have enough, you know, to put together number 3. But, yeah, he said that should be out around WrestleMania time. So that's the number 3 you can look for. And, of course, number 1 and 2 are available right now. And then, as Vic mentioned, the Brian Pillman Memorial shows, the 20th anniversary, the anthology, 4 DVD set, 15 hours plus of content, all the 4 of the great shows from 98, 99, 2000, 2001, matches, interviews, awards, and so many extras. And again, for the younger folks who don't realize, these shows were the only place in the world in those years that you could see WWE, WCW, and ECW stars all on the same night in the same venue. So, and there's a lot of great matches, but the extras are just well worth the price of admission as well. And you can get that set at PillmanShows.com or the 2 addresses I mentioned earlier, Joe-Dombrowski or Pro Wrestling Library. And might as well mention Briscoe a couple times on this show. Briscoe Booster T-shirt. We talked about that in quite a lengthy conversation too last night about how that the T-shirts came about and how we tried, you know, to sell them and wrestle all at the same time. But it was, if you'd be interested in one of those T-shirts, realize that that was the first ever pro wrestling T-shirt put out on the market by Jack and Jerry and myself, put out in 1972, the artwork by Jerry the King Lawler. You can get that at Pro Wrestling Tees. And if you happen to be a Les Thatcher guy, you can get I'm a Les Thatcher Guy T-shirt there as well. So check it out, guys. And the DVDs, I know for a fact you will be happy with if you purchase them.
All right, brother, let's take us back to what's left on the docket here. And that brings us, since we were talking about Dax and his potential future, still technically under contract to AEW for a few more months. So let's shift everything over there to the land of Tony Khan and find out what's going on there this week. There were a couple of stories outside of Dynamite, which we will get to in a minute or two. But I wanted to start with that first because it was interesting to hear from William Regal this week, who was a guest on a podcast talking about the last few months in AEW, and really his entire run there was not exactly what he expected it to be. He's very proud of what he did those last couple of months, and he should be. It was some fantastic television he had the good fortune to be a part of and create in his own right. But he says he didn't go there with that intention. He wanted to do something different, and he was asked initially when he signed his contract to go there and be of some assistance in a different capacity, and that never transpired. I can only presume that would either mean being some kind of agent or maybe a trainer of some kind or maybe even someone who was going to help Tony with ideas here or there. And we know how that ended up with the VPs and Tony.
Yeah, that would have been a hell of a spot for Regal, too. And, you know, he is very capable outside the ring with ideas and his philosophy is really sound on wrestling and how to present it. But, yeah, the position that Jericho is in, the position that Moxley is in, the position that the executive VIPs are in, he would have fit nicely in any of those and probably better than some that are in those. And that's not a knock on Jericho or Moxley or anybody, but Regal is just that kind of mind. It's fertile and well worth your time to spend with him and pick that brain. So, yeah, it's a shame that that never worked out, but he's back with one of his better friends, best friends, I'd say, in Triple H. But I'm not sure that Vince is, if my dear friend Regal's looking over his shoulder or not, since Vince was the guy that cut him loose. It's been, what, a year? Has it been a year ago?
Barely, right? I sincerely hope he got his contract guaranteed.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's hope. Let's hope.
For his
but
sake.
Yeah, he's a, yeah, and this guy is a value to any wrestling promotion that can hire him and turn him loose in the capacity we talked about, you know, as a writer with ideas, public relations, angles, whatever. He's a wealth of information. And, but I wasn't surprised in a way either because, as I've said, I'm not picking on Tony Khan, but his ideas sometimes are one of the reasons that the great bookers of my generation booked in advance was for they didn't get sporadic and get off on start something and never finish it. But we see a lot of that in AEW, whether you like it or whether you don't, we see a lot of that. And so it is what it is. And this, speaking of that, Wednesday, you and I both thought it was a show.
Yeah.
But it was certainly nothing that you could, if you missed it, you didn't miss a lot, right?
That's how I felt. But I also, in fairness, have to give them credit for accomplishing something I did not expect. When I looked at the lineup prior to the show on Wednesday, I thought this could be a sub 900,000 viewer show. There's just nothing here that jumps off the page to me if I assume the role of somebody who's not necessarily the AEW diehard, that I know a little bit about wrestling and I'm flipping by. Hey, let me check in and see what Dynamite is doing. I'm not sure that anyone in that boat would have been pulled in, but this show did very well compared to last week. A couple thousand more viewers, 969, so they deserve credit for doing better than I thought they did. I want to be fair about that. But yes, I do think that for the most part, it was just a show. And in some ways, it actually, I don't want to say it proves my point. That's not true. But I only wish or wonder what they could have done if they had spent, say, maybe 3 or 4 weeks promoting Kushida, since he was in the main event of their television program. If they'd done this on more than a week's notice with a guy who does have star power in Darby Allin. And I do get, but sometimes it's a little too inside baseball. I'm sure Tony looked at that and thought, well, everybody who watches this show knows who Kushida is. Well, yeah, but people who are passing by may not. And if you run a couple of weeks worth of vignettes, maybe someone will catch it who hasn't seen it before and end up becoming a fan because of it.
And Kushida could have a few fans that are NXT fans that didn't know he was going to be on that show.
That's also true.
You know, so, yeah, I mean, people will follow a particular wrestler from one promotion to another, you know, or how they'll follow a brand. But so, yeah, well, how many times, how much verbiage have you and I spewed, let's say in the last year, over stories should have a beginning, a middle, and an end. They just don't dissolve. And the build, to me, that's one of the most important things is not Joe Smith is wrestling for the world title against John Jones. Okay, but how did Joe Smith get here? There's the story, the build. And I said to you before we start taping, my example of that was back in Georgia Championship Wrestling, WCW, with Tommy Wildfire Rich. I ran the tours. And here was a guy, babyface, who was on fire. And there, he gets to a title, or close to being a champion or contender for the title, he gets knocked off that, you know, just as reaches out, his hand is near that brass ring, they take it away from him and build. And this is what drew, this is what made him hot. You know, the grandmothers and the young girls that, you know, were just crazy about Tommy. I mean, this, you know, it kept him red hot. And I've said this to him. I said, you know, maybe the worst thing that happened to your career was actually having Harley's title for, what, a couple weeks or a week. And, you know, he didn't have the same because he had reached that pinnacle and then they took it right away from him.
I got to ask you one question about this. It's sidebarred into an old school discussion here for just a second before we move on to something I want to ask you regarding the top flight match with the Bucks. And talking about Tommy Rich and how that really did, it threw cold water on the hottest guy they had in the promotion in winning it and losing it in a 5-day span. Why did it do that for Tommy Rich in Georgia, and that didn't happen to Dusty in Florida?
Well, Tommy was, his fan base was more the, like I said, the grandmothers and the younger women, right? I mean, I'm not just saying guys didn't like him and everything they did, but, you know, that was basically who you were playing to with Tommy. And with Dusty, you're playing it with a wider spectrum of fans, I think. If that is the answer, and if I have the right answer, and I'm not sure that I do. But sometimes you just can't tell, and that's a fact, too. You know, I've seen a guy draw big money in one territory and go to another territory and just be lukewarm. Why? I don't know. Maybe the way he's being used, or just the fans didn't connect with him in that way. It's crazy business. Well, you know that, though. You've been around long enough to know how crazy it is. But yeah, you're right. Dusty, it didn't affect Dusty, but it sure affected the hell out of Tommy. And a lot of it comes down to who you're doing that particular short-term championship thing with, too. Now, we talked about Sammy doing it with Reigns earlier. It would work. It wouldn't hurt Roman. And Sammy, anything beyond where Sammy is now is gravy, I think, or is, what's the old gambler say, playing with house money.
Yes, there you go.
I don't think they ever expected Sammy to get to this point, to be this, you know, this whole storyline to have solidified the way it has. So, you know, whatever happens is playing with house money, I think. But with Tommy, it wasn't the same thing, because they took him as a legitimate champion or legitimate star. So, and I think part of it, you know, Barnett had control of the title, and Jim and Tommy was one of Jim's favorites. And I think it was maybe, you know, it was like, okay, this is like your bonus or your, your special treat for drawing us money and being such a good guy. Although it ended up creating a problem, bigger problem than it solved, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it ended up taking a lot of the air out of the promotion. While you were saying that, though, it's not the same thing, but I was thinking about Mick Foley, who essentially got that first WWF championship run as a bit of a lifetime achievement award, and we appreciate what a great guy you are and everything you've done for us. Then a funny thing happened. It was working. So they ended up having feud with The Rock, where they traded the title back and forth a few times. He never had it for any lengthy period of time, but he was involved in a several-month-long feud where he won the title several times. So, yeah. You know, they did actually find something in trying to be nice to a guy who had done so much for them in that situation, which is the complete opposite, unfortunately, for Georgia Championship Wrestling of what happened with Tommy Rich.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? Dax and Cash got a little heat for, I guess, around the AEW locker room because they mentioned Punk being a good guy. You think Jade Cargill's going to get the same kind of heat?
Well, I'm not sure she cares, based on what she said.
I'm not sure she does either.
In this interview, I mean, I get the feeling that even if a dude rolled up to her in the locker room, she'd be like, okay, let's take this conversation outside. She was...
her interview was, I thought it was interesting and everything. You know, how she was, you know, saying that, you know, Punk had been helpful to her, friendly. And a lot of people, you know, but if you think he's taking your heat, you may not want to say the same thing. We know who we're talking about.
Well, right? See, here's the interesting thing to me, and I know there's a little more in this Cargill interview you want to get into, but obviously we know the issue with the VPs and Adam Page. That's completely understood. And Jericho had long-running issues with Punk from Punk's end of his run in WWE. So there was already, you know, negative energy between all of them. But all these stories about how the locker room will revolt if he comes back, and they thought he was a cancer and yada, yada. Listen, the only people putting their name on anything outside of the obvious are folks telling us he's a great guy. So where are all these other people in the locker room who are ready to revolt?
Yeah, it's called politics. And the spin doc, somebody's a spin doctor there, right? So we spin it the way we need, you know. And I'm sure that the cons, you know, with the Jaguars being as mediocre as it's been for so many years, they know where the spin doctors are and how to hire.
They got them all on the payroll.
Yes, they certainly do. But yeah, I'm wondering if you know what? I was surprised we didn't see a big Jaguars thing on the Wednesday night show.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. Actually, I hadn't considered that, but I mean, they have had matches on TV and pay per view at the stadium where they play football. So why wouldn't you just say congratulations to the Jaguars? That I mean, to me, that's not taking a victory lap or a bow or being, you know, a jerk about it. You know, everybody knows where you got your money. Why don't you? You know, there's nothing wrong with celebrating that win.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. You were going to bring up something about the matches Wednesday night.
Oh, well, real quick about the Jade Cargill interview, and then I'll get to the thing I wanted to ask you about Top Flight.
Okay,
you know, she
sure.
was talking about training with Danielson and having Billy Gunn as her agent. Can you talk about whether or not or how much improvement you have seen, if any, in Jade and what being around guys like Danielson and Billy Gunn can do for her?
Yeah, I've seen him. Now, is she ready to be my women's champion? No. And I say that not because she's bad or not a good athlete or she doesn't look good or that she hasn't improved. It's just that's not my – she's not at the standard I want to put a belt on, whether it's a male or a female. It has nothing to do with the gender. But, no, I don't think she's there yet. But, yes, I have seen some improvements. You know, but basically – she has just her certain set moves, and she is not ready to get in there and tell a long, lengthy story right now, I don't believe. But, you know, and she's working with Dragon on Wednesdays, and I'm sure, you know, that Brian is, if you're listening to him and paying attention, you got to pick up something good from him. You have to. He's that good. So, you know, you would hope so. But again, I don't, well, you know, here again, I'll go back to my friend, Jim, who was watching, Wednesday night with me. And when they announced Willow and who was it? Willow wrestled,
Tony Storm.
Yeah. Tony Storm. He said, I'm leaving. And I always tease him because, you know, you don't have staying power. I've got to, because I do a show. I can't afford to, but his thing is that the women's division there is weak. We've talked about that, and this is just a fan. He's not a trainer. He's not a booker. He's a wrestling fan, and has been for a number of years, and he's just not that, you know, that high on the women's division in AEW, and I can't disagree with that because we see the boo-boos on the videos of some of these things. And it is insane. Well, like they put, who was it that ended up hitting the concrete last week?
Anna Jay. Oh my goodness, that was awful.
Jesus. You know, the table wasn't set in the right place, obviously, or they got out to Willow went through the damn table, and Anna Jay. I don't know how her back survived that pop. I don't. Because she was expecting to hit a table and go through and the table to slow her down. And she didn't even come close to hitting that damn table. But when you know, when you realize the injuries that have been in this company, somebody needs to settle this whole thing down. I don't care if you got the greatest talent in the world, if they're all on the disabled list, they can't make you any money, but they can sure drain yours. So, yeah, I mean, for good business. It's well, the angle thing that's been floating around on Facebook where he mentions, don't they know how to work, wrestle and tell a story? People buy that. Now it's a stunt show. This is Kurt Angle. Now you say, he's an old man like Les Thatcher, and he's a little big fucking champion idiots. Pay attention. He's also turned into a hell of a worker. And he's right. It's turned into a stunt show. So it is what it is, I guess. And ye shall see. But I think the company, I think they're in a groove at 900 plus. And realize they've been in business, 3 years now?
Yeah, not bad.
So, yeah, no. And the newness is blowing over. And again, these storylines are sporadic at times. And you're going to get. And, well, Regal's saying that, he went there with the intention of being part of something else, and he wasn't. Again, that's, I think, the inexperience of Tony Khan in trying to be the booker. So, and humans make mistakes. I don't care if you've been in the business as long as I have or 15 minutes. Humans make mistakes. So we can expect that. And, as long as he can, if they were to try to buy WWE, my God, he would have a nervous breakdown, I think, if he tried to handle all these TVs shows at the same time.
You know he would want to.
Oh, I'm sure he would. I'm sure he would. I'm sure he'd have some help. And I don't mean other people.
I'm going to leave that right where it is and ask you the question.
Leave it right where it is. Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
I'm leaving that right there. He's very enthusiastic, Tony is.
Very enthusiastic, and my eyes are from you.
So the question I wanted to ask you about Top Flight, we'll wrap with this here on this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly, is we saw these young men have a couple of matches against guys who are on the AEW totem pole several levels above them over the last few weeks. And in those matches, they fought hard, they came close, and they got beat. And then this week with the Bucks, another team that is several levels, presumably above Top Flight, they fight hard and they manage to sneak out a win. Do you prefer that approach where they've been on TV for the last few weeks coming close and losing than beating a team like the Bucks? Or would you have liked to have seen it booked in a way where Top Flight was winning matches against maybe not necessarily the top echelon, but seeing them on TV 5 or 6 weeks in a row in winning efforts and then this match with the Bucks where it's like, okay, this is a big step up in class. Let's find out what they have.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the build, as I mentioned earlier, there's got to be some anticipation. A good storyline, a good match, a good show should build, as the old expression says, it gets a laugh out of everybody, like good sex. Should start with foreplay and come to a climax. And that's, you read a good book, watch a good movie, that's exactly what you're seeing. And you don't see that here, and because of some of the sporadic booking of Tony Khan. Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense, except I'm guessing that the Bucks have taken a shine to these guys and figuring to make some money with them. I will say this, Top Flight is not in the category of the other teams that the Bucks are use to make themselves look good, because I sat and watched this. Hey, they're putting a spot together. How slow is that? I mean, it was obvious. It was a spot fest. It was a stunt show. I mentioned Kurt saying that on Facebook, having made that statement. Now it's a stunt show. He's right. And this was a stunt show. If you're entertained by that, that's cool. But I don't see that it's doing really a thing for Top Flight. They're going to learn more about the business and expand their horizons by working with workers, Danielson, Moxley, guys like that. So, but again, I that's my guess. I don't know, but yeah, they lost these other guys, but the Bucks see a way that these guys are going to, I look for a story of some sort with these two teams, maybe, and I could be completely wrong. And again, it could just be the sporadic way that that company is booked.
Well, it's interesting to see where they'll go from here. I mean, do the Bucks bring in Kenny and Top Flight get AR Fox and we have trios title matches? I mean, here's the thing. the Bucks aren't tag champs, so, what are they in line for? Does that just mean we go to a six-man and see if your three are better than my three? Or is this a springboard for Top Flight in a tag team division?
Yeah, who knows? The shadow knows. The time will tell is all I can say. Again, I've tried to figure out some booking there, and I have been relatively unsuccessful. So, although I see that Rampage tonight Willie Mack is working with Brian Cage, and both those guys worked for me in Los Angeles on the year-long tournament I ran out there. Willie Mack is, you look at Willie, you think, what, he's getting shape. He probably does, but he carries that weight around. He is so agile for his size. But that cost him a deal with WWE, blood pressure. And I hate that.
I've forgotten about that. That's right. Yes, it did.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And Willie's just a hell of a good guy. He really is. I like him a lot. And talented as well. So, Action Andrade is wrestling. Ah, here's where the plot thickens too. Garcia.
Yeah.
And Andrade is the one that Jericho, maybe the Bucks are seeing who they can put over underneath guys and Jericho, and they're having a contest. Maybe that's it.
I don't know, but that match was made
I don't either.
On Dynamite because Garcia wanted into the tag match that Sammy and Jericho are supposed to have on Dynamite this coming week. And so they made this match, and Jericho said, if you beat Andretti, then you can be my partner and Sammy will watch. If not, then it's me and Sammy. So we'll see what happens there. Oh, you know what? Before we get out of here, though, one more. We had a little fun with Tony Khan a few minutes ago, but we do want to give him a shout out and a little respect for the show he put together. Obviously on very short notice for Ring of Honor, which will be available free on Honor Club, a tribute to Jay Briscoe that they did this week after taping Rampage.
Yes, absolutely. Thumbs up and hats off to Tony Khan for doing that. It's a class. It's a class act. It is. And Jay, in the situation, I think it was well-deserved. I've seen some, little clips and stuff, but I want to see the whole thing if possible. Hats off to AEW and Tony Khan for doing that. Can't say anything bad about that, my friend.
No, not at all. And since you were talking about your conversation with Gerald Briscoe and JBL, which is going to be available next week, and referencing those Briscoe Booster t-shirts and all the work that went into making them the very first professional wrestling t-shirt, and so successful that actually the success proved to be all's undoing with that shirt because all the promoters wanted a piece of it.
Yes, it actually did. That's what we were talking about. When we said to JB, we were not entrepreneurs. We were three wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
And trying to sell t-shirts, and we didn't have the profit built in. And when at first the promoters didn't want anything to do with it, then they saw what we were selling and said, whoops, we want a piece of this too. So we got out of the t-shirt business. But I said to Gerald last night, I said this to him a couple times, I said, since we were the innovators, wouldn't it be great if we could get 1% of the net of all the wrestling t-shirt sales?
Oh my goodness, that's right, since there
were
none.
Then it was, we said we could have a great mansion in Bermuda, and I forgot that JBL used to live in Bermuda.
I was gonna say he lives there, doesn't he? Or he moved, did he leave?
Yeah, he's or had a place there. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that one. I just threw Bermuda out of the top of my head, but yeah, he said we get down there with Jim, with John, and I said, yeah, okay, but yeah, we got to get out of here. Time for me to go to my real job.
How dare you?
You're coming off yours. You're going to bed, right?
Well, I'll be up for a little while longer. I usually stay up till 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, cool. Cool.
So with that,
My boy.
Now that the promoters can't get a piece of that t-shirt money, tell everybody where they can get them.
You can get those t-shirts at Pro Wrestling Tees. They're the exact replicas of the original shirts. And I'm really proud of those, Terry, as well. You can also get an I'm a Les Thatcher Guy t-shirt there if you happen to be a Les Thatcher Guy.
By the way, too.
And
go ahead.
I was going to say, and if you'd like to book me for seminars or a weekend training camp, you can reach me, lesthatcher28@gmail.com.
I was going to say, if you bought somebody a crappy gift for Christmas, you might as well go on to Pro Wrestling Tees and buy 12 of those Briscoe Booster t-shirts and hand them out to everybody who you shortchanged at Christmas because you know they return those gifts.
Great idea. You can be my advertising agent. How's that?
Well, I'm a promoter. I want a piece.
Yeah, get on it. I just can't sell you 84% of the voting stock. That's all.
We'll have to discuss that.
Okay.
We're wrapping this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly for the legend Les Thatcher. My name is Victor Sosa. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy weekend to spend some of it here with us. And we will talk to you again next week.